I'm going to read from two different texts tonight. So first, I want you to find Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And then Colossians chapter number 3. Ephesians 5. And put your finger there. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. And when you find it, I ask you to stand and honor the reading of the Word of God. Just try to give you a few truths tonight and encourage you, help you, maybe instruct you a little bit. And we'll begin with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19. Here, a few pages turning, so I'll give you, because I'm just reading one testament, both texts. So if you're turning, you'll miss it real quick. So I'll let you find that. Both of those are in the New Testament. If you find Ephesians, turn to your right, and you'll find Philippians and then Colossians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Then in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16, as the old preacher used to say, that's page 1265 in your Schofield Bible. I probably should have done that to begin with, shouldn't I? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for how these songs have ministered to us in this place. God, I keep thinking about how much you love me. That happy day. And God, I appreciate Ian and the good songs that he sang and the children. God, I love the words Jesus can satisfy. God, I pray that just that one little phrase, if nothing else, would find a place in their hearts. That somewhere down the road when they're older and going through a difficult time, that'll echo and they'll remember that Jesus can satisfy. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we turn to your word tonight. And God, I know it's Sunday evening and folks are fatigued and tired and God, and a lot of it's easy to have our minds on other things. But I pray you'd help us, Lord, for a little while. We'd bring our thoughts to captivity. God, that we'd focus on your word, that the Spirit of God would speak to hearts. I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I need wisdom tonight. God, you know what's on my heart. You know what's on my mind. And you know what's on the page of my note. God, I need, Lord, for that to be unified. And I pray that you'd give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. I pray you'd help me to have the right spirit and right attitude for everything that I say. And I pray that you'd speak to those that hear. Now, Lord, there may be one under the sound of my voice tonight that's never truly been saved. I pray the Spirit of God would speak to their heart. And, Lord, you'd draw them to Jesus before it's too late. And, God, it may be there's somebody tonight that's going through a great battle and a great difficulty. I pray, God, they'd find strength. Though I have a particular subject that I'm going to be striving for, I'm glad, Lord, that your word is quick and powerful. And, God, just through a verse of reference, God, you can minister to someone's heart. And, God, even their strength in the fellowship of this place. Now, God, I pray that you'd have your will and way. And we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look in both of our texts tonight, there was something that was a little bit common, and you would have seen the words singing and songs and having to do with music. And, you know, it's nothing new in the New Testament. The Bible has, music has been in the Bible all the way down through the 4,000 or 6,000 years that this earth has been here. You find the first instrument in Genesis chapter 4, verse 21, where the Bible says, and his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. You even find when Jacob fled from Laban and took his wives, Laban met him and said, no, if you'd have told us, we could have met and we could have had timbrels and song and dance. But the first song recorded was in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1, after Israel had crossed over the Red Sea and God had delivered them from Egypt. The Bible says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, because he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he hath thrown into the sea. And if you look in the Bible and you think about songs much, you're obviously going to think about the great psalmist David. and his heart and his love that he had for music and that he had for worship in the Lord. You'll recall that as after the fiasco of them trying to move the ark without God's prescribed method, that there was a death, and it stayed in Ehud's house for probably, not Ehud, Obed-Edom's house for about 90 days, and David saw that he'd been blessed, so he decided he would go back and go about it the right way. And in part of his preparation for going back and getting that ark, he put together some singers. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 16 that, and David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. And of course, we know that David loved all kinds of music. He said in Psalm 33, he said, praise the Lord with harp, singing to him with the psaltery and an instrument with 10 strings. You'll notice in Psalm 81, he said, sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. And of course, Israel was always known for their singing. You'll find them singing when they laid this foundation for the second temple. In Ezra chapter 3, the Bible says that they sang together by choruses, praising God and giving him thanks because he is good. They sang there. And then you'll find in Psalm 126, verse 1 through 3, I'm giving you a lot of scripture. We'll be all right in a minute. It's all right to use scripture when you preach, ain't it? And I'm moving a little fast, but we'll make a point. But you know that they rejoiced in Psalm 126, verse 1 through 3, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we're glad. Now, I said a while ago, that singing must have been good. Israel was known for their singing and for their songs, even when they were taken into captivity. We learn in Psalm 137, when they were by the rivers of Babylon, the Bible says they sat down and wept when they remembered Zion. They hanged their harps on the trees. But then those that held them captive, they required of them mirth. And they said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They wanted to hear that good psalm. Of course, they replied, how shall we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? Now, I love singing. I love music. And I think Preacher Stewart said it like this one time, if you like it any better than me, you'd have to be taller than me or bigger than me, because I like it. And I think about the blessing of music. I enjoy sometimes putting earbuds in my ears and finding me some good Christ exalting gospel music. And you talk about escape. Everybody talks about wanting to get away. Boy, what a blessed time that is. I think of a few weeks ago, I give a testimony to this. I'd been down to pick up the CDs. I was either delivering or picking up the CDs and DVDs from when we did the Jubilee orders, and I was coming back up the road, and I had it plugged into my car, and I was coming up 85, and I began to listen to that song I sung the other Sunday, Calvary Answers for Me. Satan just cowers to think of the power they lost when the cross had his day. Man, God sat down in that car with me that day, and I tell you what, it's just probably the grace of God that I'm still alive, because there wasn't nobody on 385 but me and God. Now, I might have used three or four lanes of traffic. I squalled, I shouted. I mean, boy, I just had a good manifestation of God by the means of that song. And I tell you, I encourage anytime you block everything out, whatever means you need to do, is to do that and enjoy those songs. Zion, music's a blessing. I think in the Bible how music can comfort. Now, I'm still in introduction tonight. It can comfort a troubled soul. You all know the story of Saul, how that he lost the anointing of God, and the Bible says that God sent a spirit to trouble him. Now, I'm not going to try to explain that. I'm not even getting into that. That's over my pay grade and theological abilities, so we'll bypass that. But I'll make this point tonight, that the only way they could soothe Saul was by music. That's how he hooked up with David. And 1 Samuel 16 says, it came to pass that when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So was Saul refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. That's the blessing of music when come to the house of God. When you try to have it before and you've got it during the service, it's setting the tone. But I'm glad that music can calm our soul. Job said in Job 35:10 that God give us songs in the night. And I'm glad God gives songs in the night season. We've sung that Shady Green Pastures in the night season. And all that. How is it when you sing a song all every day of life and start trying to quote it, and you can't remember the words? But some through the fire, some through the flood, all through great sorrow. But God gives a song. Now that song emanates from when we got saved. Amen. Aren't you glad He put a song in our heart that won't go away? You'll even remember in Acts chapter 16. When Paul and Silas had been jailed, they had been beaten and they were bound in jail, and they began to testify and pray, and they began to sing songs. And about midnight, the Bible says that the prison was shaken. I'm glad even then, in amidst their wounds and their bloody wounds and their troubles and the darkness and not knowing what was going on, they could stop and they could sing the songs of Zion. And I'll tell you one that excites me in particular. We talk about singing. You know, when Jesus and the disciples had met in the upper room and they'd had that last supper, after they'd eaten, the Bible says that when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So what's the significance about that? My Lord gathered with those men, and the melody came from His mouth, and He sang. Boy, can you imagine hearing Him sing? Amen. I'm not a songwriter. I did write a song about that one time. Boy, can you imagine how our Savior lift His voice and sing? How sweet the sound, how pure the melody. But what a blessing to hear Him sing. The sweet part is, brother, I believe I have heard Him sing in those sweet times when we've been able to commune. But our Savior was a singer. Then it's even down to where we are now. We sing in the house of God. There's people that don't believe in that. There's people that don't believe in instruments, but I believe that's clear in the Bible. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, and what a good motto, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Well, I sing praises unto thee. When I sign Bibles, I sign Psalm chapter 13, verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord because He had dealt bountifully with me. So tonight, for just a little while, I'm going to look at these words in these two scriptures that I read to you tonight. And I've been preaching since I was a teenage boy. I was ordained in the ministry in 1994. I've been leading music and singing. I've been singing longer than I've been leading music for the past 23 years. I've done that. But I've never embarked on what I'm embarking on tonight. I want to talk to you a little bit about singing in the church. Now, I will say this, I want to give you my credentials to do this, not even to be puffed up or hardy. One is my experience. Do you know I am a professional funeral singer? People are dying to hear me sing. I mean, if there's a list I wish I'd have kept. I wish I'd have kept a list of times that I'd sung at funerals. But singing, I mean, it's what I do. I mean, I believe this is what God birthed me into the world to do, not because I'm great, but this is, even as a young boy, when we would do a youth Sundays, guess who got stuck doing the choir? I mean, I believe this is what God built me to do. I'm not the best by any means, but I believe God has given me the gift to do it. Now, everybody don't have that gift. Now, there's gifts that I don't have. If your car breaks down, I can go out there and open the hood, and I can turn some bolts, and I can pull some parts out. I probably can't get them back in, and your car ain't going to start. That's not my gift. But you can't stand up here and keep everybody in the same time and get in the choir singing. And so that's my gift. But then my position here, some of what I may give you tonight, you may call opinion. But you know what? I have a very strong pull in the music here at Gateway Baptist Church. But then not only that, I'm a preacher. I have the call of God on my life that gives me an authority to say these things. But not only that, I've been talking to the preacher about this, and he has given me his full blessing, and that counts, amen? But I also have a guidebook here that'll help in the matters we get into these things. So I don't want to scare you. I do pray the Lord give me wisdom, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take our text that I read to you out of Ephesians chapter 5 and a little bit from Colossians chapter 3, and I'm just going to try to give you a little bit of what the Bible says. And obviously, I'm human. I'm going to throw in some of my opinion. I'm going to tell you something. Reading people's opinions about music, it can get awful disappointing. And it's not necessarily because of what they say, but when I go to somebody, give me some book. Give me some Bible. And I think the Bible really is pretty straightforward about music. Sometimes we make it a lot more difficult than what it is. But first of all, I see in our text tonight, I see the song. I see the song. The Bible says, speak into yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. As I began to look at this, I got excited. Because just starting off, as I get into it, he said, speak into yourselves. Sometimes I chastise myself over my song explanations and my little mini testimonies about these songs. But you know what? It's biblical. He said, speak into yourselves in psalms and hymns. So just brace yourself. I've got a biblical mandate, so I'll keep egging you on between the songs and rejoicing in those songs. But he named these. He identified three distinct manners of songs. First of all, he said psalms. Now, it doesn't take a PhD, a GED, or anything else to figure out what a psalm is. In our Bible, we have a book of psalms, P-S-A-L-M-S. There's 150 of those individual psalms, and they're songs. That's what they are. And they would take and they would sing these songs. We have a couple of psalms that we have sung. Years ago, the choir would sing that song, and I liked it, "The Lord is My Light." I believe out of Psalm 27, believe that's where that was. We sing on page number 4, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name," from Psalm chapter 8. There's a course we've done from Psalm 48. It's in our book. And I'll say some more about this, contemporary songs. And I'm trying to pace myself and say the right things at the right time, but I'm going to tell you, you can't improve on Bible songs. You can't improve on that. And he said, sing those psalms. But then there's another one that was named here. It was named hymns. Now, as I looked at hymns and I began to study this word just a little bit, I got a little bit tickled because many people have left our traditional hymns and our, quote, traditional Southern gospel music for praise and worship songs. They left the hymns. Do you know what they left? They left praise songs, to go to praise and worship songs is what that is. That hymn simply means music that praises God. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, I was trying to encourage them about praising God as God reminds us of His promises. Sometimes to be reminded, you need to look at who God is and how big He is. And you know, sometimes I just don't know how to praise Him. So I want to do more than say glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, it's good. And so sometimes I'll get into those hallelujah psalms and I'll begin to read what David said and how David praised. And sometimes I'll try to quote what David said to praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, so I can learn to even do it on my own. But I'm going to tell you, it's always in order to sing praises unto God. I mean, He's the source and the reason of our song. And see, sometimes though, when we do that, it may feel a little mechanical. Because we don't have the cold chills going up down our spine, and it may not feel spontaneous, but I'm going to tell you, we have a responsibility to praise the Lord. I mean, there's nothing that sets a church service in order by starting off and singing the praises of God. Even in Hebrews, it says late in Psalms, it says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a sharp two-edged sword in their hand." I mean, we ought to praise Him because He's worthy. And it's a song of praise. And I'll tell you, as long as I'm doing this, we're going to keep singing the songs that praise Him. But then it goes carnal, spiritual songs. Now listen, that simply means not carnal, after the Spirit. It should be Spirit-led and should be doctrinally right. Spiritual songs. There are a lot of songs that we sing even in our circle that aren't spiritual. Me and the preacher was talking the other day, and I hope I'm going to just throw out some examples. I'm hoping I'm going to name your song and your grandma's favorite song and hurt your feelings. But there's some songs that have become popular that have no spiritual meaning to them at all. Songs that even put works into salvation. Songs that put holding out to the end. And you know, a common thing we run into in our songs nowadays, we believe in the pre-tribulational return of Christ. And many of our old hymns, they carry on with the second advent where Christ's not coming to the air, but He's coming to the earth. And none of them are perfect. None of them are perfect. But I mean deliberate misconceptions of truth. There's a lot of people that are confused doctrinally because some goofy song they heard. Somebody started off a song about God sending His Son when all else failed. God sent His Son. And I'm not making fun of music, but it needs to be spiritual. A big problem we've run into nowadays is we've got people that are not spiritual. You got people that are lost. Enter into the gospel music world and trying to write songs. I could give you there's a song entitled "Come to the Water and Stand by My Side." I know you're thirsty, you won't be denied. Do you know what was behind writing that song? It was about a homosexual trying to find acceptance down in the church. That's heresy. And so I want to encourage you, there need to be spiritual songs. And I say doctrine, right? This is a point where I'm going to get on my soapbox for just a minute. And you hear this said a lot, but I'm going to tell you why. Where I lead singing, where I'm the song director, why we use the hymns and spiritual songs and psalms instead of some of the, quote, contemporary music. Now listen, I want to say something to you. Just because it's new doesn't mean it's contemporary. And just because it's old doesn't mean it's spiritual. You judge each one individually just because it's fancy. Now listen, I'll just tell you this. I heard the comments about the Christmas play and the Christmas songs. If you say it, it's going to make its way back to the office, so you just be prepared. It got accused of being contemporary. Just because it's a little fancy does not mean it's contemporary. And I'll keep that in mind. I wasn't going after everybody. I'm giving that to you out of brotherly love. You need to take that one little bit of advice I gave you at front end of that. That's the moral you need to take from this story. I think about our modern music. Now, I want to read you a verse. I want you to turn your Bibles, and I want you to look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 7 and 8. And I'm going to say a little bit about what I'm going to call the CCM, is what I'll call it. And Christian contemporary music. And I'm going to give you my take in it. I have friends. I don't think that people that listen to it sing it, I don't think they're all going to hell. I just don't think it's the way. I don't think they're evil, but I don't think it's the way, and we'll not be doing that here. There's a reason on our logo it says fundamentally refreshing. Okay, there's a reason that's there, okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 7 and 8, it says, "And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" I've always kind of had a little bit of a pet peeve about music. Somebody shouldn't have to listen 15 or 20 minutes to figure out what you're listening to. And I know nowadays, even in our Southern gospel circles, it turns into almost rock and roll. Now I have my preferences. Okay, I have my preferences. I personally don't like a lot of electric guitar, and I don't like my car to bounce when I'm I don't care for that. Okay, and that's my preference. Some people think if it ain't bluegrass music, it's out of the pit. That's a preference. Okay, some people think if it doesn't sound, some of this stuff that's supposed to be gospel music sounds like show tunes and from movies back in the 50s and 60s. So it could have been right back then because it was doing what the world was doing. We got to think about sometimes what we're saying when we throw these things out there. But here's why I do not follow or adhere to or approve of the contemporary music part. First of all, because of the performance of it. And I say the sound of it. It's an uncertain sound. You don't have to go far. There's a good couple of good clear stations that you can tune into. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm preaching about singing in the church, okay? That's where I'm at. We're right here. We're not out there. I'm not on your radio. I'm not in your living room. I'm right here, okay? My burden and my desire for hearing. How about music in the church, the sound of it? It's an uncertain sound. And a lot of times you get you don't know if it's gospel. Sometimes it sounds more like a love song than a gospel song. Now, we run into that sometimes in our circles. Sometimes our Southern gospel songs sound more like a country song than a gospel song. I want to be sure that when I get up for a crowd of people, I even did a recording a couple years ago, 10 or 12 years ago, and I want to be sure when people turn that on, that they know the words and the singing that's coming out of Tim Ramsey's mouth is gospel music. And I will pause here for just a moment. I listen to gospel music. Period. That's what I listen to at the house. That's what I listen to in the car. And that's what I want in my heart. And I'm not standing to preach against everything else tonight. I'm just telling you. So I have a strong preference. Now see, I can't be too big on that because I don't watch all Christian TV. I have a strong liking for Daniel Boone right now. But at the same time, there are TV shows and movies that aren't fit to be listened to anywhere. There's music and types of music that aren't fit to be listened to anywhere, anytime, anyway, anyhow. I'll tell you the best way about it. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Trash in, trash out. So that's a good way to judge what you're taking in, how to judge these things. Boy, we've covered a lot of ground just talking about that. Say, does it really matter? Does it really matter that much? Can we just sing and get along? It does matter about music. It can cause great confusion. The Bible's, you'll remember when Moses was on the mountain in Exodus chapter 32 and God was giving him the commandments and they were up there and it came time for him to come down. He came down the mountain and he met Joshua. And Joshua, he heard a sound in the camp. Now, you remember what's going on? They'd gone completely to idolatry. And Aaron had made that golden calf. It was a miraculous thing. He threw all that gold and those earrings and a calf popped out. That's about what he said. But the Bible says when Joshua heard the noise of the people, they shouted. He said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Well, Moses got there and he said, it's not the voice of them that shout for the mastery. Neither it is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but it's the noise of them that sing do I hear. So they were singing, but they couldn't even recognize it because it was a racket. I'm saying it needs to be recognizable. And one of my pet peeves, man, I don't like the music in front of the vocals. Now listen, I said my pet peeve, okay? Don't go out there and say it's sin. I like to hear the vocals. I like to be able to hear the words and what's going on. I'll get into some more of that. But then I see it's performers of this music. I look at them. And you see, the Bible gives some mandates. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, come out from among them and be separate. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Now, when you look, now listen, when I talk about this CCM music, I'm not even keeping that on the same page as this gospel rock and gospel rap. There is no such creature. That's a misnomer. That's like saying it's blackish white, Tar Heelish Duke, or Clemson is South Carolina. It just don't exist. I mean, there's no such creature. But by its performers, I want to tell you, somebody that sings a gospel song ought to live a gospel life and walk a gospel walk. I want to tell you something. They ran into a problem after the kingdom was divided and Jeroboam became king and began to lead the people into idolatry. The Bible says that he made the lowest of the people priests. Didn't matter how they lived. Didn't matter how qualified they are. I want to tell you what, somebody's going to stand and proclaim a gospel message. They need to be living a gospel life. And it does matter. Listen, let me just throw this in here. It does matter how you live if you're going to sing in the choir. The people you have dealings with and they show up here, that when they see your face, they ought not to be thinking about a dirty joke. They ought not to be thinking about a bad business deal. They ought not to be, or where you seem worker that won't do how they ought to do. I mean, you ought to bear testimony up here in the choir or where you seem by yourself. Amen, amen, Brother Tim. I'm just being honest with you, okay? I don't know anything. I don't have any information. I don't have a text on my phone. Tell me. I'm giving you just the facts of how it needs to be. You need to have a testimony. Boy, that's not a testimony for Christ. Women on platform and 2 o'clock clothes. I mean, scantily clothed is the word. The Bible says that women are to be adorned in modest apparel. And you got that long-haired, effeminate men. What's Christian about that? What's Christian about a man with hair down on his shoulders, his ankle, trying to sing? Ain't nothing. Bible says that's a shame. Bible says that's a shame. And that's free. I won't charge you nothing for that. But then another thing I have with it is its purpose. Why did all this start? Well, somebody one day looked around and they saw our young people were slipping away. They saw that what we were doing didn't appeal. Never occurred to them that we need to go get God. That we need to get the touch of God back on us. The problem with the church ain't the music. It's dead. You don't need to fire your choir director, bring in some punk, don't know God, ain't even saved, just because he played drums and strum a guitar. You need to go get God, start having you a prayer meeting every night and praying the glory down on your church. Praise God. Hey, Bible says when it was noised abroad that is in the house, there wasn't room for them in the house. It's what the world wants to see. I remember years ago hearing a story about a church that was physically on fire. And they were carrying buckets, running water. And a man looked over and saw the atheist running to the church with a bucket of water. He said, I never thought I'd see you running to church. He said, I never thought I'd see the church on fire. But I think about its purpose. That's, you know what? Sure, it'll get them to come in. What effect is it having? What effect is it having? There's no life-changing effect in it. So that's a little bit of my pet peeve about my problem with contemporary music. But we've looked at the songs. Let's look at the singing as this goes on. I've just got a two-point outline with several sub-points. We're doing good. The singing that's involved. Notice what he said in Colossians chapter 3. He said singing with grace. And boy, I think about that singing with grace, and I believe that has to do with singing with the divine influence. Boy, that's what separates singers. You can have all your melody right. You can have all your harmony right, and I want it right. I want us to know the songs of the choir. If you're going to sing with me, I'll aggravate you to death. Let's make sure we get all the parts where they need to be. Man, but you can have all your T's dotted. You can have your T's crossed and I's dotted. And you have all your right clothes. You can stand with the knees right length apart and your toes pointing the right direction. You can put your head on the pivot and look at everybody just like they teach in these big places. Be dead on a doorknob. What touches people? Hey, it ain't your harmony. Thank God. I know God uses truth, but spirit touches spirit. And I'll say some more, Lord willing, about that in just a minute. Would to God we had some singers one more time have a touch of God on. That's the difference in everything. But they're singing with grace and making melody. Now that melody can allude to music. It could, one of the Greek translations there was like a vibration. It could allude to music. But I think it also relates to pleasant to hear. Now I was over here the other night, me and the preacher Renee was singing a little bit. And not all songs were good. We had pretty good harmony and stuff this morning. Not everyone we did was good. We was practicing for the meeting. And we walked out and this lady made a comment and I knew it was bad and was doing. And so I called it affectionately caterwauling. She told me, she said, no, that's a joyful noise. All singing's a joyful noise. I thought, you've never led a choir. Now I'm going to tell you something right there. If you do a word, you say, well, Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You do a word study on that word, joyful noise. You know where that shows up? It shows up where David was going to the valley of Elah to see his brothers and saw the battle. The Bible says he shouted for the battle. That is a joyful noise. That your dearly beloved loved one does in the shower, that's not a joyful noise. So I will give, but it's making melody. The Bible says, now listen, I'm not telling you don't sing in the choir. If you know you can't sing, just be a blessing to the person beside you. Amen. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, let all things be done decently in order. I mean, the Lord ought to get the best. He ought to get the best. But it says singing and making melody. The next thing he said, into your hearts. Now, this is very significant to this thing of singing in your hearts. That's relating to the human spirit as the part of man that's akin to God and it serves as his instrument. It's the center of our spiritual life. Now, you know that man is a trinity. He's a body, he's a soul, and he's a spirit. Now, I have to be honest. We talked about this the other day. Man that's lost is dead. I'm not sure if he's a trinity or not. I'm not sure what you would call that because he's got no life in him. He's lost. But man that's saved is a trinity. That you could illustrate it with a football. You get a real football, not a nerf. You get a real football. And you've got the leather or vinyl outside of that ball. And then you've got that black part, the bladder that holds it. And then you've got the air. That's the spirit. Now that part that you see, the vinyl or the leather, that's the body. Now you're looking and you're seeing outside. You're not really seeing Tim. You're just seeing the house that they live in. Inside of that, that black bladder, that would represent the salt. That's the real football. That's what it is. When you look, I'm looking out my eyeballs waving at you. That's the real team. You just can't see me. But then there's a spirit. That's the part where God lives. The Bible says to walk in the spirit and not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oftentimes we get our lives out of order because the pecking order is not flesh wants, soul follows, spirit obeys. That's backwards. It's not soul desires, that's your emotions. Your soul desires, spirit and flesh comply. No, that's not the right way. And though a lot of people live that way. So many of us are controlled by our passions of our flesh or by our emotions in the spirit. But what we ought to be controlled, our emotions in our soul, we need to be controlled by the spirit. And see, that's the thing. I talked a while ago about spiritual songs. That ministers their spirit. Now listen, if I'm trying to reach your flesh with music, I'm going to get me a beat. I've got you. My foot's tapping. I've got a little dance on my leg. I've reached that. Now, I can do things to touch your emotion. I can do a song with some sad. I can adjust the music. We can go a cappella and let that harmony. I said the other night, and I really didn't hear what I said until a good friend of mine, we were talking back before, talked a little bit about music. But harmony touches your soul. Y'all can cut the music. And I can touch you. Now listen, I want to tell you a funny story about that. I used to always pick at Bryn. She was a Stewart then, now she's a Collins. I'd say, Bryn, if you ever forget the words, just drop your head, raise your hand, they'll shout. I'm just picking at her. I'm just being silly. Be careful what you say. I was singing in a camp meeting one time, me and John Paula. And we were singing. Now usually if I mess up on the words, I can come up with something. And we were singing a song, and I come in on that second verse, and I was halfway through the verse. I started right in the middle of the verse, being there wasn't nothing I could do. I had to stop. And do you know what happened when I stopped on that song? That crowd went to shout. That wasn't God. See, I'm talking about spirit. Now, that's innocent. God uses our emotions. But we don't need, I wear myself out sometimes trying to find songs that'll touch you. But the part of you that it touches ain't right. We need songs that touch the spirit. What touches the spirit? Truth. Truth. I think about Brother Josh preaching this week. I tell you what, he'd get in that book and my heart would just burn in me, that truth. And boy, that's what those spiritual songs, that's what those songs that go to the heart. Listen, we sing these old hymns, you may not tap your foot. You may not cry. But boy, there's such truths in these songs that ought to touch your spirit. And I'll be honest with you, if it don't touch your spirit, it ain't song leader's fault. I take a lot more on me than I ought to. It's a problem with your spirit. I tell you what, that's a negative and a real argument about listening to the wrong kinds of music. You get an appetite for something that is no benefit to you at all. Need to listen. Talk about songs in the heart. The Bible even tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. May God, I tell you what, you want to really worship God. You know how sometimes you get in the service, it's kind of because our emotions are running high. But boy, when it gets in the Spirit, man, it ain't going to be this. And it ain't going to be gone by the time you hit Highway 9 out here after you pull out in front of somebody and blow your horn at you. It ain't gonna leave then. That spiritual last. Man, with spirit's where the depth is. Boy, it touches your spirit, it'll change your life. I guess part of the problem is a lot of times the spirit's quenched in our lives. Amen. Amen, Brother Tim. You're right, brother. You go right ahead and keep plowing, brother. You're doing good. But then it goes on, I'm almost finished, with grace and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now, just who and what are we singing about? Now, I'm going to tell you, if there was one thing, and I don't know how to say this without it being critical, but if there was one thing I could change here at Gateway, it'd be to open our mouth. Open our mouth and sing. I would love to be, I can't do it. I can't make you more interested in song. We could learn every song in the hymn book. I could buy a book on top of book and we could learn every song under man. But I can't do it till we start singing to the Lord. Whether it's My Hope Is Built or it's Amazing Grace or Jesus, What a Wonderful Name, it's singing unto the Lord. I think if we figure this out, it'll affect our attitude in the singing. Can I say something about the services here at church? It doesn't start when Preacher Shelton says, turn your Bibles. And it doesn't end when he says, stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed, just for the record's sake, okay? It starts on that first song. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't get up and just thumb through the book. I honestly, from the depths of my heart, try to find the mind of God for the service and try to please Him, help the man of God, and minister to your hearts. I do that to the best of my ability. And it's disheartening to not just, if it's to me, and listen, I'm not whooping you, okay? Please don't take it that way. I'm just being honest. To be up here and try to praise God and look out over the congregation and people ain't paying attention. People gazing into the stars, they ain't even opening their mouth to sing. Listen, it's a group, it's a corporate effort. And you're not cheating, you're cheating me, but you're cheating you. You're missing an opportunity for the Spirit of God to minister to you. And it may affect our attitude, may it affect our efforts. Man, would to God get a hold of our hearts. I quoted the verse a while ago, I will sing unto the Lord. Listen, you ain't gonna keep me from singing. I will sing at the drop of a hat. I will drop the hat to sing. And the only reason I don't sing every service because I might hurt somebody's feelings. I ain't got no problem with singing. I ain't got no problem with finding a song. You come through these grounds, you'll catch me in the fellowship building busting a gut. You follow me down the road, I'm going to be singing in the car. I want to tell you something. When God saved me, the psalmist said, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, set my feet on a rock, established my goings, and He put a song in my heart. Everybody's song may not sound like mine. Oh man, the joy of that song resonate from your heart and praising God. What a blessing it is that I get to dip my tongue in the melody of heaven, the very time that I'll be begging God for a drop of water to cool it all, just to lift it up and bless and praise His name and say, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Ain't no drudgery for me to sing. I guess that's my question. What's wrong? What's wrong that it's such a drudgery? Why can't we sing? Why can't we lift up our voices and sing the good songs of Zion and praise Him? I think sometimes we just got to focus and get dialed in and bless Him. I encourage you to sing out. Whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory. I'm doing it for His glory. I ain't doing it for you. I want to be a blessing. I want to be encouragement to you. You think, hey, them notes I can't hit, I'm going to hit in glory. There'll be no more of that choking and gagging when I get tired up trying to sing. That won't be going on. I'm singing. I will be on the front row. I'll be at choir practice too. Amen. But I encourage you to lift your voice. I read that verse early in Psalm chapter 81, verse 1, about lifting your voice and singing aloud. But the Bible says, and I'll close with this, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, and this ought to be our motto when it comes to the church, I will declare Thy name unto the brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto God. It's not just the choir's responsibility. It's not just the soloist's responsibility. It's your responsibility. God gave you breath. God gave you voice. Now I encourage you to use it and to sing. Now I'll leave here tonight and tomorrow. I'll think all these other things I could have said, and I'll probably think some things I wish I hadn't said. But if I could beg and plead for you to do one thing as your choir director, sing. Kids in the youth choir, open your mouth and sing. Amen. You know, as crazy as this sounds, I remember I was about 10 years old, and there was 7 or 8 of us little young ones there at the church there in Newland. And we got to singing together. And of course, we knew nothing about parts. So which kids, I mean, 12, 13 years old, man, but people's having us come sing. It's just one part. And I tried to sing bass. I couldn't sing bass then. I can't sing bass now. It's just what the old guys did in the mountains. The women got in front, sung the soprano alto, and the guys got in back. That's how we did it. And I'll never forget that preacher's son looked at me, and he said, "Why don't you just sing out?" So I did. And I got to singing in the youth choir and singing solos in the youth choir. And I remember when I got saved in January of 1986, I loved the old Squire Parsons songs. And I testified. I just wanted to know I was saved. And God settled that night in January 1986 and got saved. And I was bare at my home by myself that next day, and I put that big black disc on that thing and let it spin, and it got to that one song. Touch those blinded eyes, what Jesus did for me. Something went off in my soul. I got to trying to sing that song, and I was with some folks around the piano, and we sung that, and there wasn't nobody around but us. And that next Wednesday night, John Otis, my mentor, got to see him a couple weeks ago, said, "Tim, 16 and a half year old Tim, I heard you singing over. Why don't you come sing that song you're singing?" Now, this is a big church. And I was mortified, but see, I didn't know you could say no. Nobody ever told me that. And somebody authority asked or told you to do something, you could say no. You're not supposed to, but I mean, so I didn't. And I got up, and it was probably a racket. But man, I'm glad somebody, the Lord opened the door. And I'm singing, I've sung since then, and I ain't got no plans of quitting. But all I'm asking is that you sing with me. Will somebody sing with me and lift our voices and sing the good songs of Zion? Boy, what a message, what a story we've got to sing. Say, "Brother Tim, I'm not that good of a singer, really, I can't carry a note." I'll tell you what, maybe you can help us sing. Do you know what? It's all right. When you're singing a congregational song, to raise your hand, it don't hurt too bad, does it, Sister Pat? It's not painful at all, is it? It's wonderful. On a congregational song one night, probably, I'm going to keep telling you stories. This last one, then we're going to sing "Heaven Came Down in Glory Fill My Soul" to close out the service. Ian, so if you want to come find that. We were singing "Grace Greater Than Our Sin." I was minding my own business, just singing the song and enjoying it. And we got to that third verse. "Dark was the stain that I could not hide." This is in our music. You hear me? This is in our music. That ain't out there nowhere. "Dark was the stain that I could not hide. What could avail to wash it away? Look, there's flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be there." I almost went to heaven without you that night. That's our songs. That's our music. Open your ears. Open your heart to sing those songs.